Hey, did you know we've got an Art of Hosting coming up?
It's pretty exciting. I mean, it's the first time we've run an open enrollment training of any kind at the outside, you know, that's face-to-face since we started the organization. And it's lovely to be going back to our roots to offer an Art of Hosting, also called the Art of Hosting Conversations That Matter, or the Art of Hosting and Harvesting Conversations That Matter.
Or the Art of Participatory Leadership.
Yes, many names.
But it is all in the outside style, right? Yes. So this training will be 3 days, July 17th through 19th, 2024 in Nova Scotia. And it will be some of the things that if you know about Art of Hosting, you know, we'll be teaching facilitation methodologies and techniques. We'll be teaching about worldviews. It will be immersive and you'll be practicing. So that will be happening those 3 days.
Great. And what we can guarantee you is that you'll walk out with a sense of architecture. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you design participatory interventions into the places where you live, work, and play? And that is really the root of it. The methodologies, the toolbox is easy to download from the internet.
That's
but
right.
The architecture, the design architecture, your capacity to actually pull together those things or even make them up yourself will be dramatically increased. So we totally look forward to welcoming you to Nova Scotia. Myself and Choose are hosting it with Gabriel Donnelly and Jean-Paul Ganzoni.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You can absolutely get the methodologies online, for sure. But you'll get to experience them with an amazing group of people. The 25 people or so who have already registered are amazing, and I want to spend time with them. And then you'll get time with the outside team and benefit from our experience doing these processes all over the world. So please, please join us. Information is in the show notes. We'd love to see you in July.
See you then.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
I'm not too loud, am I?
No.
Okay. Sweet as a nut.
Yeah, that's what people say. Sweet as a nut.
Sweet as a nut, sound as a pound, and safe as houses.
No, that is not something that people hear say, but that's cool. I really like it.
Hello and welcome. Find the Outside the Podcast. It is good to have you with us. I was trying to, you know, good morning, Vietnam. You remember that?
That was great.
My son's been getting into that soundtrack from Good Morning, Vietnam. It's just full of like absolute classics.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll send it along to Eileen. They're the same age. Maybe she could get into it.
I mean, he's also listening to a whole bunch of grime from London and Birmingham in the UK. That's definitely not Good Morning Vietnam sound,
yeah.
But you know.
Well, I was thinking, how could I get it to her in a way that does not seem like it's from me? Because, right. You know,
right.
I'm not awesome or cool at all. And right. In fact, I think she really tends to not like music if I like it, just on principle.
Really? Oliver started trying to influence my music taste. So we go down to the gym together at the moment, and Apple Music, which we tend to, I'm not advertising it. I'm not even saying it's any good. I'm just saying it's what we've ended up using. And now we're trapped in the walled-in garden. Anyway, yeah. So we use that program. But you can share, like we've both got Bluetooth headphones.
Uh-huh.
And we're in the gym and he can share the playlist. So we can both be listening to the same playlist.
Oh, that's cool.
And then he picks all the songs when we work out.
That is cool.
It's really fun. I love it. And I get exposed to music I'd never hear otherwise, which you know me, I adore that, right?
Right. So. Oh, that's great. Now, Eileen does like to share her music with me, I will say. Yeah. Like that's like, go, she's see. Definitely into like sharing her music with me. It's just the vice versa doesn't work very well.
No.
Even when I know it's music she would like.
Yeah.
Right. Like, right. You know, like if she likes this band from the 90s, then she's likely going to like this band.
Right.
But that's just not allowed. It's fine.
You know,
it's
Depeche fine. Mode and The Cure. You're probably going to like them both.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Do you know, because Gibran, my partner, was not here for the first in the US for the first 12 years of his life. He just heard a Duran Duran song for the first time.
Wow.
I know. It was so funny because I was singing. It was Hungry Like a Wolf, obviously.
No way. I was just thinking about that. Anybody hungry? Hungry like a wolf.
We went to a restaurant that was playing like all these like mid-80s songs and I was just jamming. And of course, you know, he came here when he was 12, which was in the mid-80s, but, you know, like just a whole different thing. And so he's like, how do you know all this? I'm like, oh, that's Duran Duran. And so we just had a whole conversation. I thought of you because I knew that you, because you say it differently, don't you? And yeah, you probably say it right. They're a British band.
You had to bring it up. So like, it was the first, it was the first album I ever bought on cassette was Duran Duran Arena. And I bought it home and I knew I'd like them. And I brought it home and I was talking to my brother about it. And I thought they were called Duran Duran.
Oh, yeah.
And I was summarily humiliated and then also informed that they're actually called Duran Duran. Yeah.
Okay. So just listener, we know that I do like to offer up Tim's humiliation for the podcast, but I just didn't actually happen to know that. I've just heard you call them Duran Duran before. And I think you say it laughing. And I'm always like, what is that? But yeah, I didn't know the whole story.
Like weird Britishism. Oh, there he goes. There he goes again.
Sweet like a nut, Duran Duran.
That's too cool. I love it. Hey, listeners, it's lovely to be with you. Thanks for just joining in. You know, we are here to reflect on the last few episodes around Changing Planet, where we've had three incredible podcasts really beginning to look at the circumstances that are shifting on the planet around us and to invite people who are leading in that area in the world to share some of their reflections with us. So we just wanted to do a little bit of a review and a stopgap and where did that send us spinning into? What orbit was that, you know? And which, by the way, I'm also watching For All Mankind at the moment, the TV show.
It's
awesome.
So good.
Really good. Not to get sidetracked. Squirrel. But just orbit. The word orbit made me think of it.
It's so good, right?
Yeah. Are you on season 3?
I've watched it all.
Oh, you must. Okay.
Wait. Is there more coming?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll figure it out. But I feel like we watched the end of it.
Okay.
So good.
Anyway. Obviously, we're going to get to the point in this podcast at some point. It's going to happen, you know.
Well, there is a tie-in, right? Because For All Mankind is an alternate retelling of history, right? So, future is very different. So, if we talk about Changing Planet, which was the podcast, like the little arc we were in, we were talking about people changing the planet. Like it was, I found that show amazing. Just the characters were amazing and all of that. But it was an alternate future Russia got into the moon first.
Yeah, which then drove the space race, which drove technological advancement, which actually improved human beings' capacity to mitigate climate change.
Mm-hmm. See?
Yeah. Amazing. Tuesday, that's called a segue save. Good job.
Thank you.
I love it.
Appreciate it.
I love it. Now, I can't remember who we had on first. I know that we had Zaid and Brett and then Katie and Annie. But I think it was Zaid who came on first, wasn't it?
I think so.
And he's obviously releasing his new book with the incredibly long title.
About changing the world and how easy it is.
Yeah.
That was a really great podcast. I enjoyed it. And part of what I appreciated, maybe if I start with Zaid, but then think about Brett and Annie and Katie, what they all talked about were doable, right? You know, like it was like Zaid said, like, you know, like what we're doing now isn't working, but we do know some things to do, right? Brett could point to things to do, communities of practice that he is seeding. AD and Annie talked about power and like we actually know what to do, right? To interrupt some of these power dynamics.
Yeah, right. That was so provocative. That was so great, wasn't it? When they
And so I just was really, you know, it sounds, again, you know, we did this whole arc of this podcast series, changing community, changing planet, changing spirit. And we talked about that at different scales. And I guess I kind of imagine that when we talk to the changing planet people, it could feel far away to people. But what I was amazed at, each of our guests, like, actually helped it feel not so far away. They were talking about this kind of global scale, but they had very practical things to do. To shift.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, I like it. It was just super down to earth. Like, you know, the language, I was just like, okay. Yeah. It just felt very, very common sense. It wasn't feel preachy to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't feel like, you know, almost like a direct reaction to so much of what I grew up with in the environmental movement of like, you know, you're bad, therefore, you know, it's trying to shame you into action.
Yeah. Yeah.
My brother used to put post-its by all the light switches that said electricity costs the earth.
which of course as a young man didn't make me want to turn the lights off, because I just, you know, as soon as someone tells me what to do, I want to do the opposite.
I have the same need.
Obviously, I'm far more mature than that now.
Yep, totally. I was just about to point that out, how much you've grown.
Yeah.
How much neither one of us are like that at all.
No.
At this point in our lives.
No, no, totally. I could work for somebody else easily.
Absolutely.
But it was, right. It was just super grounded, super common sense, super, super applicable. And, you know, I think the thing for me, and I feel like I've said this a billion times on the podcast, so I apologize, but like people's ability to articulate things clearly mm-hmm. in such a way that I'm like, oh yeah, you know, because I often have feelings or intuition, or I just know something doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But my capacity to articulate it into some kind of like coherent stance, it's not always there for me. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, thank goodness these people are out there talking and out there leading.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Absolutely. I felt the same way. I felt quite, there were just moments in each of these podcasts where my thinking was stretched beyond where it has ever been before, but not because of impressive intellectual ideas, just like some common sense naming of things. Like Saeed talked about necroparadigms, right? Those things that we do, right? That are in the name of the greater good. So however you get there doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? But that's a necro paradigm. Like, you know, if it doesn't matter how you do it, like, you know, and I could just find that in lots of groups we're in, but also just in myself, right? Like where are the places where I think the ends justify the means, or, you know, and how do we kind of move beyond that? And I was really struck by his talking about, do you remember the cricketers playing in their whites with their bodies all around them?
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, like my impulse is to judge that. And of course there is room for judgment of that. We don't want that kind of, you know, sociopathy, right? Active in our world. And while it's easy for me to throw stones out there, it's like, what are the ways that I'm playing cricket in my dress whites while people are dying, right? Every day, right?
Yeah.
And so just like, it was not a casting dispersions out, although a critique is useful and needed. It was like, oh, how do I actually find that in myself? And what would it change in me?
Right. And a necro paradigm would quite literally be a paradigm that ultimately leads to death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a set of behaviors, beliefs, mm-hmm. practices, right. ways of learning that lead to death.
Yeah. Yeah. One being the ends justify the means, or it's okay for some people to have nothing while others have everything, or violence is the answer, right? Yeah. You know, or at least one viable answer. You know, right. It's like the paradigms that keep us going.
And on the other side, you have Brett kind of offering this paradigm mm-hmm. of like, we're working with 50% of the photosynthetic mm-hmm. capability of the planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What are we doing building machines?
Yeah.
When we've got a global system that is built to do the very thing we need done. And what we need to be doing is turning up the volume on this system, this global system, so that we can harness its power, because no machine is ever going to cut it.
Yeah.
What we need is a functioning Earth.
Right. Right.
It's like all the technological answers, it's just like, he's just like, none of them can operate at the scale that's needed.
Right.
None of them. You know, so this whole idea of like nature-based solutions isn't some like nice to have. It's actually the only way we're going to be able to operate at the scale that is necessary, right, to reduce the suffering that's coming down the pipeline from the future to now.
What I loved about Brett was I felt like, you know, he just so clearly straddles two camps. One, right? Like he's like completely into the technological solutions we might be developing, right? Like he's like, yep, bring them on. But that's not enough, right? We also have this other, like, you know, because climate change is so often dominated by science and data. And What we know is that science and data has been insufficient, right, to shift our behavior. And so he's like not afraid of the science and data, but he's also saying it's insufficient, right? And there is actually something that is sufficient there. We just have to turn towards it. And I thought it was interesting. And it also really brings me to mind Tim Frankly, of the guests that we're having up coming up on the Changing Spirit series, when we talked to Janine Marie Haugen and Laura Blakeman, right? Like Janine talked about like dreaming with the earth, right? As if, you know, the earth is a partner that we could begin to dream a future together, which Brett talked about very differently. But there is something about moving into relationship with this body that we're living on, that we are part of, that we're part of an ecosystem with, that feels quite radical. And if you begin to imagine that we are part of a body that could dream together, then, right, this changing planet, then, as Ayid says, that's kind of the opposite of a necro paradigm, and it actually has some possibility moving forward.
Well, yeah, the necro paradigm is that we're superior.
Right.
Than the very planet that we live on that sustains us. And therefore, we can figure about better than the planet ever could done, despite its millions of years of evolution to get to this point. Right. Like we can, you know.
Yeah. Or that humans are all that dream, right?
Or humans that are, yeah, right. And so there's some like, you know, like talk about a necro paradigm. I mean, you know, in all the kind of work I've done around understanding colonialism, because it's so inherent in my family, it's rooted in a belief around superiority.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these fundamental beliefs around superiority, you know, this necro paradigm that somehow we know better rather than we're part of and with.
Yeah.
It's game changer, Tuesday, what you just pointed out. That's one of those necro paradigms. That's one of those kind of fundamental shifts. And, you know, I'm getting into Changing Spirit. I mean, it's almost inevitable that the more I engage with spirit, or the more I engage with the part of me that is indefinite, infinite, the more humility I feel. The more I engage with whatever is sacred in my life and in the world, the more humility I feel, the more I engage with what I experience to be divine, the more humility I feel. So there's something about the changing spirit, I think, that we're heading into in the next pods, that's at the root of some of the shifts in the necro paradigms that Saeed was pointing out that I think is so important. And it's just so interesting, isn't it, that like it's not a big environmental action project. It's like it's a transformation in our own hearts that needs to take place, which isn't to say that the large-scale projects aren't needed.
Right.
But the mindset they come from really matters.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking, as you talked about the mindset really matters, I think we know that's what we talk about in the two loops. And I think it's also, if I think about Katie and Annie's work, you know, the Equation Campaign is a 10-year project. And there's something so radical in that, just saying like, we've got 10 years, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, what a disruption to philanthropy. What a disruption to the way we deliver service, or the way we imagine helping people, right? Like we've got 10 years to do this, and we're not going to do this forever. Because when we think we're going to do something forever, like we set up things that sustain what is, right? We kind of like firmly stay today in a necro paradigm to sustain what we're trying to do, right? And so even by like moving that out of the time, they've also made a stand for something different, for a disruption of the very ideas that make us go forward. I thought that was really interesting. I had no idea they were a 10-year project.
You know what? Yes. And like so practical, so willing to look right in the face of power. With no quaking in the boots. Just like, okay, this is what is. Where do the bolts need to be loosened? Where's the intervention that makes the biggest impact? Let's just go fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know, like I just like such unbelievably nice, but incredibly fierce women.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was something in that. And just, I, you know, that old youth worker saying, kids will never remember what you say, but they'll remember how you make them feel. I feel like that a little bit with those two. I was just sitting here trying to remember their exact words. But what I kept getting was a feeling of like awe.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Like the kind of like, the kind of like cleanness and strategic like directness of what they mm-hmm. were doing. I just kept remember having this feeling of like, wow, these two are like a sword.
Yeah, I agree. I think that their willingness to turn toward reality and to be with it is quite remarkable between talking about what's not working, but also like the threat to the people that they work closely with.
Yeah, there you are. That's it. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
To the tactics that are using, you know, that people are using. You know, I just thought there was clear-eyed seeing in what they were talking about, right? They just did not flinch from it at all. No. And yet, if you remember at one point, Katie said that one of their board members said to her, when you don't know what to do, go in the land and ask it. Spend 3 hours on the land and you'll get the answer. And so it was like this clear-eyed, fierce, we are seeing very much what is happening in the world and understanding that it is not a theoretical threat to people. Like climate change still feels like a theoretical threat to many people. Right. But, you know, they're talking about people who are actually getting their lives physically threatened should they not go along. And so it's like this real willingness to see what's happening and be with it and still say, so I'm going to go outside for 3 hours and try to find the answer rather than, you know, I'm going to strategize one more way. Although strategy is welcome.
Sit down and write a bunch of shit down or start working with post-its. I'm actually going to go and.
Yeah, exactly.
Practice humility and consult with something larger than me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Amazing, right? Just amazing.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So with changing spirit. Mm-hmm. There's this fella coming in, Gibran Rivera. I've heard he's got some things to say. He's pretty.
He's all right. I mean, I hear him all the time. So, you know, I might be less impressed than other people, but no. Listeners, that is my new husband, and he's going to be talking about like his work with spirit and change. So, for a long time, he's been working with leaders and shifted his work since the pandemic into kind of, I would just say, like shifted gear into a much kind of deeper level where he's having quite explicit conversations with leaders and organizations around spirit and its role in work, around soul, wonderful. Around healing, around
really?
Other realms, right? So I think it'll be fun to talk with him. I think he's
that's exciting because I know he's always kind of like held his work in almost like the biggest arc possible in terms of the evolution of like people and planet and consciousness. And so I was excited to get him, but that sounds really interesting to start bringing words like soul and spirit into the workplace. That's very exciting.
Yeah. And I think he's getting more and more courageous about it, right? As people are responding. And so I think it'll be great to speak with him and around the use of medicine too, to help that and support that.
Yeah. Well, the Animus Valley Institute is going to be fantastic as well. I mean, the kind of the stories they have of him, of kind of in the immersing in nature as teacher, just incredible, you know, that this isn't, I just love it that this, you know, you talk about changing spirit and we're not talking about something that is kind of hard to touch. They're talking about experiences. They're talking from the experience of being in it. You know, I think there's a big difference between belief and knowledge. And the idea that like knowledge is something you know because you felt it, because you've been in it, you've been part of it, you know. So I loved talking with them and hearing about the kind of work they do. It made me, I ended up going and after we did the pod with them, which I, you know, you're gonna hear, listeners, it's coming up, I immediately went in and started looking at the retreats they were hosting to be like, oh, can I get out to one of them?
Yeah, can you? Are you going?
No,
to
not yet. Maybe probably not this year. Maybe in coming years, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to hearing how that lands for folks.
Yeah, I'll be really curious because, of course, I feel like they're really closely aligned with what we're doing, but just in a whole different way. And they have a whole different language. They have a whole different kind of like conception of what they're doing.
Totally.
But it's so aligned. Yeah. And so I'll be really interested to hear what people think. I really enjoyed having the two of them on. They're like, they almost, as soon as I see them, it's like the conversation slows down and goes deeper.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I find that with people who have a practice of being in nature somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can find that with meditation practitioners too. Like, you know, people who like practice really regularly, dated, I mean, not everybody, but there just seems to be a level of presence that comes with that kind of regular practice. But also people who like really practice or live or, you know, are constantly in relationship to nature. There is some kind of like baseline of depth, isn't there?
Yeah. 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 And I think there's, I'm curious if it's, I mean, I'm like, oh, I think we should ask them about it. But my story about it is, that actually nature often has a different rhythm. And so like when you're tuned into that, like you're not, it's like you're just going to a different rhythm. It's like the drum beat is different. When we did, you know, you and I have done some real work with the Volgeno Climate Initiative. And so the last thing I did with them was around agroforestry, right? Which these are folks who are talking about like getting our food from trees around us, right? They were so amazing. But I was also like, they were super fierce, but super gentle and like could not be hurried and could not and would not talk about scaling in the way that we typically would, because for them it was a bit preposterous. We're talking about getting food from trees, which are slow growing, which are, you know what I mean? Which like, okay, we can scale this up. We can plant a lot more trees, but like, we're not going to see that for another so many years. And so there was just like a different pace that I thought that led to two things. One is their complete generosity with their time because they felt like they had it, I think, in some ways. Wow. But also just like a complete... that was a retreat that I did that I felt like there wasn't maneuvering, defensiveness, and like agenda setting. Like they were really, and it, obviously it wasn't utopia, but like there was something about their relationship with the trees and the rate at which they knew their work could progress that just allowed some relaxation and actually some
I love that.
Openness. Yeah.
I just had a little moment this morning. I decided I'd take the dog for a walk before coming into work. The sun was shining. I mean, cold, it's like -6, but the sun's out, you know, clear blue skies, which is nice. I know, the -6 isn't great. I'm ready for spring. But I just say, you know, when the sun's out like that, I just always love to just like stand there for a little bit with my eyes closed and let it sink in, you know. And then you just start hearing all the birds and the birds that are coming back. And like everything just like slows down, doesn't it? Just for a bit, it's just like...
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. You said something great there. It's like, it's a different drum beat.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's part of what we're inviting in this changing spirit. And then finally we'll have Crystal Scholten from Rios and talking about her work in South America and some of the ways, of course, Rios is into large scale change. And so we'll hear about that, but you know, we're bringing Crystal into this changing spirits series because they're really thinking about how do they bring in ritual? How do they bring in indigenous ways of being? How do they work, not kind of officially in their work with medicine, but how is medicine impacting their work? Right. So it's just, you know, it's like at scale and like really getting closer and closer to the ground as they do it.
I mean, it's lovely to have Crystal in. I've known Crystal since I was about 24. You know, like on and off over all the years. We hosted like a 3-week learning journey around sustainability with practitioners from all over the world in Brazil. And so that's amazing. It's lovely. She's a wicked, wicked human.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my friends, I mean, this probably marks us being 2/3 of the way through.
Yeah.
Season 279.
That's right.
So, you know, it's good. We're looking forward. Stay with us for Changing Spirit.
That's right.
stay with us for Changing Spirit. Let the drum beat shift and allow your ears and heart to shift with it. We're really looking forward to hosting you in the next piece of the podcast.